Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about these resources, please visit sbcconline.org. God bless you.
The keyboards work very quietly.
He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister His
Our Father and our God, we worship and we honor you. We thank you for your faithfulness to this land of destiny that has preserved her this 60 years in spite of so many satanic attacks. And not only did you preserve her, you preserved a church in her that has come to know you, given her revelation knowledge, strengthened her, taught her how to pray, and brought us to where we are today. We are grateful. As we enter your word now, I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, that I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. I ask that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely, your word, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray and ask for a release of the power of your Spirit in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I further pray, as I speak, you will help me to speak with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of your word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings mentioned in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, you may be seated. We thank God for That ministration by the choir on Nigeria. I didn't know about it. You know, they just told me they had something special. I thank God for the word that God has brought through them for Nigeria, that God's eye is upon Nigeria, that Nigeria should not despair, and that God's purpose for Nigeria is being fulfilled and will be even more fulfilled by His power. I have a prophetic present truth message for today. It applies, of course, not only to Nigeria, but to all the nations of the world. But in the light of this song that has just been sung, I want to give us very short prophetic preview. If you look at Nigeria today, in the natural, it is easy to despair. It is easy to become discouraged. If you listen to what you hear on the media, you hear all kinds of things about, you know, people saying they want to, you know, this Biafra, Oduduwa, and all kinds of things. But I want to let you know that the God we serve is a God who watches over His word to perform it. Nigeria was not the creation of Lord Lugard. Nigeria was not the creation of the British colonialists. They were merely tools in the hand of God. The nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which the rivers divide, Lord Lugard didn't know about that. The British colonialists didn't know about that. They were just used by God. And the God that brought Nigeria into existence had a purpose and has a purpose for her. And the purpose is clearly written in the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 18. Let's just go there for a minute. I will read the first two verses and then I will jump to verse 7 and then jump to Zephaniah. He says, "Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia." Notice it is not Ethiopia. It is beyond. At the time this was written, they didn't know the world properly. The geography of the entire globe had not yet been mapped out. And so the prophets could speak. They knew it was not Ethiopia. They knew it was beyond it somewhere. They didn't know where. "That sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even the vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go ye, swift messengers, to a nation." I'm going to read from the New King James Version, because the Old King James is not very clear here. He says, "Go, swift messengers, to a nation tall and smooth of skin." This is symbolic. It is not literal, because you can't say a nation is tall, because in every nation you have tall people, you have short people, you average out. So he's not talking literally. He's talking symbolically. He's talking about a spiritual nation, the church, that has grown to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he uses smooth of skin, which we get again from Ephesians chapter 5, talking about the glorious church, that it has no spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Whenever you talk about spots, blemish, you're talking about the skin. And that's why there is a direct application here spiritually. "To a people terrible from their beginning." Terrible here doesn't mean they are bad people. It just means that it's talking about a spiritual army. "A nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide." This scripture is one of the kind of scriptures that, you know, prophetic scriptures, that is what I call a mosaic. An intricate pattern of symbolic and literal truth, you know, symbolically interwoven into one another. And a lot of the prophetic scriptures are like that. That is why the letter will kill you, and it's only the Spirit that gives you life. That is why you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, particularly the prophetic and apostolic teaching anointings, to rightly divide the word. And you can see which one is symbolic, you can see which one is literal, and how to interpret and to apply it correctly. The rivers divide is literal. That's why we have the River Niger and the River Benue, you know. But the powerful and treading down and all of that, he's talking about that Joel's army, which we mentioned a few days ago when we're doing the fast on the Day of Atonement. And where the Bible tells us, you know, that they will be a great people. It's this same thing, terrible, is used of that in Joel chapter 2. You know, it says the great and the terrible day of the Lord. It says there will never have been anything like them, and there will never be anything like after them. He's talking about the end time army of God. But it's going to have its, it's going to be pioneered. The origin is from God, but it's going to be pioneered from this physical nation from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Now, if you jump to verse 7 of Isaiah 18, he says, in that time, he's talking about this end time we're in. That's why he spoke prophetically. It wasn't at the time Isaiah was speaking. He said, in that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, this same spiritual, powerful church, from a people terrible from the beginning. Same thing he said in verse 3. A nation powerful and treading down. There's going to be a nation that's going to conquer, spiritually speaking now, not physically. It's going to conquer everything that stands in its way. It's going to cause the will of God to be done. The Bible says, send for the rod of thy strength out of Zion. It says, rule in the midst of thy enemies. And so, it says, whose land, and it goes back to the physical, so that you can locate the country, whose land, only Nigeria answers this prophetic description. Many nations have rivers in them. But the only nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that the rivers divide, it's so specific. You can't miss it. And that's why the prophet, under the Holy Spirit, was inspired by the Spirit of God to describe it in this clear prophetic manner that cannot be mistaken. In fact, God went ahead to make sure that the nation is named after the river. The river Niger and the river Benue. And so when they were going to name Nigeria, they called it the area around the Niger. That's where we get Nigeria from. This country will not break up. You know why? The person that brought it together is God. And what God has joined together, no man can set asunder. That is why, in spite of all the centrifugal political forces and social forces that are trying to rip the nation apart, you find this miraculous, powerful, divine hand that has kept the nation and will continue to keep it. Nigeria, you are about to be invaded. And so he goes on to say, and this is where we get the link. Whose land the rivers divide? To the place. To the place of the name, the character of the Lord of hosts. To what? Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion doing beyond the rivers of Ethiopia? It's not physical. It's spiritual. Mount Zion is the perfect church. According to Hebrews chapter 12. You are not come unto Mount Sinai, but unto Mount Zion. Unto the spirits of just men made perfect. That's what he's talking about. Now go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah. And we look at chapter 3. I'm not going to read everything. Just going to pick. And then I'll go to the main message. Zephaniah chapter 3. And it's in verse 10. You see the same thing. And these are two separate prophets. Isaiah gave his own hundreds of years before Zephaniah gave his. Zephaniah now picks this by the Holy Spirit from, again he says from, telling you the origin. That's the where it springs from. Now it's not going to remain there, it's only from there. Just like, you know, a lot of people don't think deeply about the scriptures. You will find that in the end time there are 3 days. That is 3 1,000 year periods. That's why we call this time the third day. In the first day, when the church started, it came from, and that's why you have that Great Commission in Acts, I think it's in Acts as well as in some of the Gospels, which is, you know, from Jerusalem. That's where it started, that's where it sprung from. To Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. This one too, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, to the rest of Africa, to the rest of Europe, to the Americas, to the, you know, to Australia, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. So he says here, in verse 10, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers. That's what the New King James says. But if you look at the Old King James, just toggle in between these scriptures. He says, from beyond the rivers of my suppliants. The word it includes worship, but it's not worship alone. He's talking about a bunch of intercessors. A church that has learned the art of intercession and supplication and prayer. That's what he's talking about. A church that is like I was teaching recently on children, disciples, and manifested sons, you know, and sons, you know, that has learned to follow its master, who in the days of his flesh offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears. That's who he's talking about. He says, that's the present he spoke about in Isaiah. He said, these people are going to bring a present. It's not going to be a physical present of just money alone. The present of worship, the present of supplication, the present of intercession. And they themselves, the people that the intercession and the supplication will produce, will also be a present that will be given to God. And look at what he calls them. Even the daughter of my dispersed shall bring my offering. Verse 11. In that day you shall not be ashamed of all thy doings when you have transgressed against me, for I will take out of the midst of them, my dispersed, them the daughter of my dispersed, the daughter of Zion. He's talking about the church. You know, and they shall be no more. I will remove from these people those who rejoice in their pride. In other words, God is going to get rid of proud people in the church. And they shall be no more haughty because of my holy mountain. And I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people that trust in the name of the Lord. In other words, something is about to happen. That's going to be my main message. Something is going to happen to this Zion church, to this church in Nigeria, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And when God finishes, the proud would have been removed. The haughty would have been removed. And the people who will be left will be afflicted and they will be poor in spirit, for to them will belong the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor, not in a negative kind of way, but they no longer have any more pride. And they now are humble so that the grace and the mercy of God can work upon them to fulfill God's purpose from them. And then it says, speaks about them. It says, the remnant, these people that are left after this operation of the Holy Spirit on this Zion church from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, he says, the what's left, they will not do any more iniquity. It's a perfect church. No spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. This is a perfect church. The Bible says if you don't sin with your mouth, it says you are perfect in all your ways. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. It's the church. In Nigeria, to start with. It's not going to be Nigeria alone. It's from. But it will start. It's springing forth from Nigeria. Sing! I didn't hear you. O daughter of Zion, shout! O Israel, rejoice with all thy heart. O daughter, what is the daughter of Zion doing beyond the rivers of Ethiopia? Keep it in this context. It has to be prophetic. Go with me to Song of Solomon. I have a book on this. It's called I Am Black But Comely. It's available on Amazon. And I go into much more detail. I'm not going to go into all that detail this afternoon. But let's just look at this. Song of Solomon. And I believe it's chapter 1. And I believe it's verse 5. This is very interesting. We were all Bible scholars, prophetic scholars will tell you that the Song of Solomon is not just a poem that Solomon was singing to one of his wives. It is, but it has an underlying prophetic application to the bride of Christ. It speaks about the love between Jesus and his church, using Solomon and one of his wives, you know, as the natural picture, but it goes far beyond that, and you can get that from a lot of other scriptures, which I'm not going to go into now, you know. But it says here, he says, the Song of Songs, verse 1 says, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me the kisses of his mouth, which is physical, but it has deep spiritual meaning. Look at verse 3. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment for, it's gone spiritual. This is not physical. The name there is character. Ointment there is anointing. He's not just talking about, you know, a nice girl putting perfume on her body. Which it has a truth to. It has, you know, literal truth to. Which, you know, a woman can put an ointment on her body. But that's not what he's talking about. Therefore, do the what? Virgins love thee. What does the church like in the end time? Five virgins. Five are wise, five are foolish. 10 virgins, rather. Five are wise, five. So you can see how I'm using this to show you how that's why I call it a mosaic. That you can see the literal and the spiritual being intricately interwoven in the scripture. And if you don't have revelation and you don't have understanding, you will not be able to rightly divide it. You will just think he's talking about a fine woman but you know, here he's plural. Of course, we know Solomon had many wives. But here it says the virgins to follow. He's talking about the wise virgins that are following the perfect church into intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it again in Psalm 45. You know, I don't want to go there. It talks about, you know, the king's daughter is all beautiful within. Her clothing is gold and the virgins follow her. It's in Psalm 45. You know, you can check that out. Now look at verse 4. Draw me! I didn't hear you. What the Bible says, no man can come unto me except the Spirit draw him. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the church. We will run after thee. What does Hebrews say? He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. You see, the reason why I can connect this is because I got revelation knowledge. So immediately I see something, I know where it's coming from. The king hath brought me into his chambers. He's talking about intimacy. That David Ingalls song we sing all the time, Into the Chambers. He's talking about intimacy in the place of prayer and intercession in the most holy place. Shekinah glory is all I ask for. Hello, somebody. We will be glad. I didn't hear you. And rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright. He's talking about the glorious church. Love thee. Then he says something amazing in verse 5. He's talking about the characteristic of this virgin church in its initial manifestation, when it first of all sprouts forth, it says, I am black. And so you will not mistake it, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedah and the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me. In other words, don't despise me. Don't look down on me because I am black. Because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. These are other parts of the church. We are all born of the same Jerusalem, you know, Galatians chapter 4 tells us that we're born of the same Jerusalem from heaven, the same Jerusalem mother from heaven. He said, my other mother's children were angry with me, and they made me the keeper of their vineyards. This has been the problem of the black man, Ham. And we've been the ones, you know, we served the Europeans, we've served the Asians, we've served, and which was what the curse of Noah upon Ham, you know. But Jesus has broken it now. They made me the keeper of their vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. But we are going to keep it now. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. So what do we see? We see a church that is arising from the nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that the rivers divide, described in Scripture as black because of the geographical area in which he said the sun has looked upon me. That the reason why we're black is because when God made man, he made him from the dust of the earth. The original man was not white, he wasn't black, he was brown. He was made from the dust of the earth. That's why you find that the Arabs, the Israelis, you know, their color is more like brownish. You know, it's not black, it's not white. Now, after the flood of Noah, the sons of Japheth migrated north. And when they migrated north, because of the temperate climate that was there, their own skin took on a pigmentation that was whiter than the original brown. When the sons of Ham migrated south, because of the climate and the sun, the tropical sun, their own pigmentation became black, darker. That's why we are black. The Caucasians are white. And the people in the Middle East, you know, the Asians, they are more brown, and some of them are a little bit of yellow when you get, you know, go farther east, like the Chinese and all of that. But we all came from the same God. He has made of one blood all nations upon the earth. This is the truth. When you understand this, racism will stop. You're not a function of your skin. You're a function of your spirit. Your body is only the clothing that your spirit is wearing. The real, you know my real color? You want to know? I'm amber. I'm God's color. When I got born again, my color on the inside is amber. I'm only wearing a black suit because I live in Africa. And the guy up there is wearing a white suit because he lives in Europe. And the guy in the Middle East is wearing a brown suit because he lives in the Middle East. But we're all the same. A man's life is not determined by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. To quote the great preacher Martin Luther King Jr. I tell you. So when you understand these things. Now, God is about to do something that is going to start from beyond the reserve. But it's not going to be limited there. Just like the first move of God in the first day of the church started from Jerusalem. But it was not limited to Jerusalem. When they wanted to limit to Jerusalem, God broke their ranks and took Peter to the house of Cornelius and published the thing among the Gentiles. From there, it spread to the rest of Asia Minor. Then it went into Europe, Macedonia, Greece, Italy, Rome, you know, the then Roman Empire. A little bit of it came down here to Africa, but not much. We had the Ethiopian eunuch. But it wasn't a major apostolic work like the ones that went to the Middle East, to Asia Minor, where we have Ephesus, where Turkey is now. You know, those were major apostolic results that they planted churches in those areas. And then in Europe, in Rome, the church at Rome, and we have all the epistles here, you know, and Laodicea and Colossae, you know, all over Europe and Asia, got the brunt of the, they got the major part of that initial move of the first day. Then the church went into the Dark Ages. So the second day, God now did a reformation of the church. And this time it was a Caucasian move. It was the sons of Japheth. Martin Luther in Germany. Then later on in England, John Wesley and others, you know. And that move, and it went again. It started from Europe, but it was not limited to Europe. Through the missionary movements, it spread throughout the whole earth. From Europe, they sent out missionaries to China, to the Far East. Then they sent out missionaries here to Africa. And that's how we now finally got the correct and full gospel, you know, with the word of God. So this third one, glory to God, hallelujah, is going to now start from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And then, just like the first two, it's not going to be limited here. It's going to go to the ends of the earth. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, as I speak now, prophetically, the title of my message is The Flood of God's Glory. This Zion church, this daughter of Zion, the word daughter just means using it as a bride, you know, the bride of Christ, because it's usually a female metaphor, you know, is a church that has learned and is learning how to be an intercessory church, a church that prays. That's why I call them my suppliants. Sometimes they don't say my worshippers, which is not wrong, because worship is a part of prayer, but he's not talking about worship alone. He's talking about intercession, deep intercession. This intercession is going to and is, I'm going to say the way Jesus said it, because I'm speaking by the grace and the mercy of God. This is present prophetic truth. In other words, this is prophetic truth that is happening presently. We fulfill some of this in this our last 3-day fast, 4-day fast, when we prayed for the church, and then we also prayed for Nigeria. You know, our fast, actually, the first day of our fast fell on the Day of Atonement. It's God who arranged that. And in the Day of Atonement, they are supposed, back in ancient Israel, they were supposed to afflict their souls, which, you know, means fasting. So we actually fulfilled the scripture to the letter. Now, this fasting and prayer is producing a flood. Look at Genesis chapter 7 verse 11. I mentioned this during the fast, but I'm going to now do a complete prophetic teaching on it, you know, because the time of its fulfillment is upon us. In the 600th year of Noah's life, I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor, say, another message for another day. I'm not going to go into that 600 because it has a meaning. You know, because I don't want to get off track. In the second month, turn to your neighbor and say, another message for another day. In the 17th day of the month, say, another message for another day. Every single thing there is prophetic. The 600 is prophetic. The second month is prophetic. The 17th day of the month is prophetic. I will tell you later. Not today. I just want to focus on today. The same day. To the day. It was not recorded haphazardly. Remember, it was Moses who wrote this. Hundreds of years after it had happened, God gave him revelation and then he wrote it down. Were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Two things. You see, most of us, we think that the flood of Noah was caused just by rain coming from heaven. Yes, rain came from heaven. But there was something else that happened on the earth. The fountains of the oceans, the deep, were broken up. So there was what you call a tsunami. It happened here in 2005 in Indonesia. When there was an earthquake under the ocean that causes a shift in the tectonic plates that caused the waters of the ocean to rise up. So it was the waters of the ocean that rose up and then the heavens at the same time opened. So water was coming from the top and water was coming from beneath. And then it flooded the whole earth. As we pray, as we have prayed and are still praying in deep intercession, the Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's going to be a breaking up, hallelujah, of the power of the Holy Spirit through united prayer in the Spirit. That's going to have an exponential increase that's going to flood Nigeria and then all the nations of the earth with the glory of God. And then at the same time, as that is coming from within, there's going to be an opening of the windows of heaven. So God is now going to also pour out power from heaven. So the one from heaven will meet the one from the earth. And it will flood. But it's going to be a flood of glory. Hallelujah. It's going to flood the nation. So when they were singing, I said these people didn't know my message. But God put it into their hearts. Pastor, let's give a choir clap offering. Amen. Pastor Andrew, because that was a prophetic ministration. You know, they said nothing is too hard for him. Have you seen a flood before? Have you ever seen a tsunami? You will not see it in Jesus' name. Nothing stands before it. It will carry, it will, you know, all the skyscrapers. You know, like, you know, the one that fell on, you know, 9/11 and others like that. You know, when a tsunami comes with enough force, it can remove a skyscraper from its root and carry it. It will carry cars, bridges, trains. It will, anything in its path, because the volume of water that is coming and the force and the pressure, there is nothing that can stand before it. Scripture. Who art thou, O mountain, that stands before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain. Is it corruption? It will flatten it. Is it bad politicians? It will flatten it. Is it a corrupt church? It will flatten it. Nothing! Nothing! Can stand before the flood of God's power that is about to be released into our nation. It's going to change Nigeria. Now let me tell you something. You know, Jesus said this. Let me just hit it and hit it running. Jesus was the one who said this. He said it in Luke chapter 17 in verse 26. This gives you the prophetic basis and background for the application of Noah's flood. And in verse 26, he says, as it was, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall all it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27. They did eat and drink. People are eating and drinking this afternoon. They married wives. They are still marrying wives. My wife said, even the judges. Amen. They married more than one. Praise the Lord. Another message for another day. They were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and what? Destroyed them all. Now, let me give you some good news, because that may look negative, but it's not all negative. There's a lot of good, positive thing inside it. Watch this. The flood of Noah that came destroyed those that were not inside the ark. But all those that were inside the ark, it exalted them. What Satan meant for destruction will now go to elevation. The same flood is the same flood. But instead of destroying the people, it elevated the people in the ark. And then all those who didn't enter the ark, it destroyed them. That's what's going to happen. This glory that is coming is going to elevate the church. It's going to elevate. I preached this message many years ago. You know, I preached one called Building Noah's Ark. Then I preached another one called Filling Noah's Ark. I'm not going to review all of them. You can check them on our weekly Rhema, you know, teachings on our website. However, you know, the thing to take away from this is this. When we say Noah's Ark, that was a physical ark. But this one is a spiritual one. The height of the ark is 30 cubits. 30 represents the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So inside the ark, we're going to have spiritual leaders who would be like Noah, who would have reached the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then inside Noah's ark were Noah's sons. That's why that message, I didn't know this was coming, you know, but, you know, these messages are sequential by the Spirit. You know, I taught on children, disciples, and sons. You know, so there'll be people like, you know, the disciples, like Noah's sons. Then you have Noah's wives, Noah's wife and the wife's sons. Then there's also another group of people. Watch this. Inside the ark, they're not actually people. They were animals. But in our own case, it would be people. You know, every living thing. There was a sample, not every living thing. But there was a sample of every living thing, all the animals. That's where we get that song from. The animals came in two by two, hurrah, hurrah. I remember when we were children. You know, the elephant and the lion and the something. Not to talk of all the insects and all the... look at God. Can you imagine all the birds, all the different, you know. So God brought, there was a sample of every living thing inside the ark. Now, spiritually, what does that speak to us? Living things today speaks to us at two levels. When I preached it many years ago, I saw it at one level. But today now, I see it at two levels, and I'll explain in a minute. Let me do the first level. Those who have the life of God inside them, born-again Christians, who listened to Noah and came into the ark. Not everybody who came into the ark. It was those that God drew by his Spirit. Can you imagine Noah? There were only eight of them. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. That's eight. Finish. How can eight people bring in animals, all the animals from the lion, the elephant, you know, the rhinoceros? Can you imagine? It took supernatural power. There is no way they could have done it in the natural. It's impossible. Only eight of them. But God gave them the supernatural power. The Bible says, no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. So in the same way today, all this groaning and prayer that we have been doing, you know what it's been doing? It's been drawing people into the ark. You know what? The living things didn't know what was happening. They didn't have understanding. They were just drawn by God into the ark to preserve them. God is doing the same as I speak now. They are born again Christians in every church. Catholic, Anglican, denomination, you know, Pentecostal, Word of Faith, Kingdom, all over the world. There are millions of them. They have good hearts. They have honest hearts, but they don't understand what's going on. But God is drawing them into the ark by his Spirit, as I speak now. The second level, which I didn't see when I preached this first, about 20 years ago, I preached this in 1997, 90, somewhere there, you know, was this. Even unbelievers, see, they're not living like the Christian that has eternal life, but they're living because they're alive. God is also drawing them. And we read it today in Romans chapter 2. The Bible says that they who do by nature the things contained in the law, they said they are become a law. You see, you have the world is full of many people like that. Not everybody is like that, but there are many that are like that. They are Muslims, they are Buddhists, but their heart is right. They are, every day they try to obey that law of conscience. They don't succeed in doing it very well because they're not born again and they don't have the Holy Ghost, you know, in any great measure. But God sees their heart. Such a person was Cornelius. Such a person was Abimelech. Abimelech wasn't a Christian. He didn't have the Bible. He didn't know God like Abraham knew God. But the Bible says, God said, I saw the integrity of your heart. And therefore, I did not allow you to sin against me. Can you imagine? All those people are in the ark. The Abimelechs, what's his name? Corneliuses, and many like that. You know what Jesus said? He said, I have sheep that are not yet of this fold. There are many like that. You know what God is doing now? As I'm speaking now, all this intercession, we wonder, we are praying, I'm praying. We have a lot of people to help. The Holy Ghost is drawing. So he's not only drawing the born-again Christian, he's also drawing the honest sinner. So that when the flood comes, the born-again Christian, the honest born-again Christian, let me put it that way, the non-rebellious born-again Christian, the honest sinner, the spiritual Noahs, their wife and his sons and their wives, all of them will be in the ark. These are the people that the flood is going to exalt. The people who are not inside the ark, that same flood is going to destroy them. And when we say destroy, it doesn't necessarily mean they'll go to hell. Things like premature spiritual, you know, premature physical death, they go to heaven, but they lose their reward because of the wrong heart. You see, I want you to know something, brethren. This thing that is coming, that God is going to do, God is going to be looking at the heart. He's not going to be looking at the tag. He's not going to be looking at, is he born again, Pentecostal or is not Pentecostal. Speaking, it's heart. And I'll give one or two examples. You know what the Bible says? In Joel chapter 2, it says the great and the terrible day of the Lord. It's going to be great for the people in the ark. It's going to be terrible for the people who are outside the ark. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 2, he said, you know, the Lord will come suddenly. He said he will be like a refining fire. What does fire do? Fire refines gold and silver. But the same fire will destroy wood and earth and stubble. It's just the material that determines its destiny. What are you building? It's going to determine your destiny. The same fire. While it will refine gold and silver, the same fire will destroy wood, hay, and stubble. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 13 to 15. He said, the day will reveal it. The fire will try every man's of what sort. He said, those that have good work, that are refined, will receive a reward. What's the reward? They will enjoy the Spirit without measure. Borrowed anointing, and they will manifest the glory of God. Those that it destroys, he says, he will be saved, yet twice by fire. But he will suffer loss. He will not enjoy that glory that is coming. That's what's going to happen. That's what is about to happen. This is a present truth prophetic message. The glory of God is going to fall upon us any minute now, any day now. Particularly in this season of the Feast of Tabernacles. So the glory of God will lift up the ark and it will exalt it. No wonder why Jesus said, let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to look at verses 14 and to 16. Just Matthew chapter 5, excuse me. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaking, you know. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill. That's an exalted city. That's what Psalm 46 was talking about. Where he says, or Psalm 48, where it says, great is the Lord, you know, and greatly to be praised. You know, the city of our God. He says, it is high in elevation. That's what the original Hebrew says. You know, neither do men light a candle to put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3. Arise and shine. We close that fasting and prayer. Say, church, arise. How many people remember that day? Arise. It was a prophetic proclamation. We're speaking to the church. Arise. Arise and shine for thy light. Let's go there. Isaiah 60. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Whew! Hallelujah. Isaiah 60. That is why there is no problem in Nigeria this glory will not solve. Don't worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, chill. Don't worry. The flood is coming. Remember the two prayers we pray for Nigeria? For the cleansing of the spiritual leadership and the cleansing of the political leadership. You are going to see a new Nigeria. Your song was very prophetic. A new dawn. Nigeria, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. All these people that are, you know, parading themselves around and all of that, you know, who don't have a good heart. And some of them have good hearts, but some of them don't. But only God knows that. See, I don't know everybody that is going to be in the ark. I just know the conditions of being inside the ark. Only God is making that determination. And so, in Isaiah chapter 60, thank you, Jesus. And look at verses 1 to 3. He said, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But, I didn't hear you. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And what? Gentiles, or nations, will come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This church, this flood is going to elevate the church and then cause the nations to come to the church. You see, by the time the glory of God comes and the whole earth is flooded with the power of God, the evil and, you know, the wicked, this same power will destroy them. But the same power will elevate the church and cause the church to become, I've said this many times prophetically over the years, and I will repeat it. She will become the most powerful financial institution on the earth. She will lend to nations. And like I said earlier this morning, prophetically, even in terms of law and all of that, we won't necessarily be president. We're not interested in that, because we'll be actually too busy spiritually doing the work of God, you know, doing missions and all of that. But we'll be kingmakers. The church's prayers will determine who will be president and who will not be president. The decision of who will be president and who will not be president will not be decided in the political meetings. It will be decided on our knees. It will be the Holy Ghost through prayer and intercession, praying in tongues and all of that, that will say, this one, his heart is not right. He cannot be a good king. Remove him. This one that is humble and I want to exalt him, put him there. And we're already seeing a little bit of it here and there. We're already seeing a little bit of it. You see, I want you to know God is in control. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is in control. Nothing can stand before the flood. Nothing can stand before the tsunami of the power of God, the flood of God's glory that is about to hit. And when he hits, my, I tell you something else, there will come a fear of God. The Bible says, and all men reverence them. And no man will just go near them. Remember what happened with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? He said, and they looked upon these men whom the fire had no power on. And Nebuchadnezzar, immediately the decree changed. All ungodly decrees in Nigeria, all ungodly decrees in America, all ungodly decrees in England, God told me, he said, Olubi, you are indebted to three nations. Although you are going to go to all nations, but you are indebted to three nations that you must continually pay the debt back to and bless them. Number one is Israel. Israel gave us Jesus and the scriptures. We owe Israel big time. Then we are indebted to United Kingdom. Without England, I will not be here. Without England, I will not be speaking the language I'm speaking now. Without England, I will not have the King James Bible. Without England, I will not have my education. You know, the Yoruba people have a saying. Enjoba monuro amopeda. Did they exploit us? Yes. Some of their people exploited us. But you must look beyond your nose. God was using them. They did not know God was using them. And in coming to exploit Africa, God said, take the Bible with you. And take the missionaries with you. I have a work to do there. I have a daughter of Zion that is going to arise in that nation around the Niger. So you can take the oil, and you can take the cocoa, and you can take all of that. But take the Bible, and my people will arise. Glory be to God. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. God is not stupid. And then I want to correct an impression. Not all of them exploited us. Some of them did, yes. But a good number. There is a fine army of missionaries. The Mary Slessors. The David Livingstones. And millions that we don't know. Give all of them a super clap offering. Stand to your feet. They're in heaven now. And salute. Salute that army. That army of missionaries that were the vehicle through which we are able to fulfill our prophetic destiny. If they did not come here, we will still be worshiping our stupid gods. Give them another clap offering. Sit down. Florence Nightingale and many others. We don't even know their names. Well, we know the name of one of them. His name is Johnson. You know my story? My original family name was not Johnson. It was some Yoruba name. It's in my uncle's book. The autobiography of my dear uncle, Brigadier Mobalaji Johnson. Is there? My original name is not Johnson. A missionary. A priest, a white man, came to Abeokuta and set up a Methodist church. My great-grandfather, not my grandfather, but his father, converted to Christianity and he became a born-again Christian. And he refused to serve their gods. And he refused to do the things they used to do. My grandfather was only 10 years old. They killed him. They didn't have the Holy Ghost like we have today. They didn't know all the things about prayer, but they didn't know all of that. But he kept his faith. And my grandfather and his siblings, their mother, shipped them out of Abeokuta in the middle of the night because they wanted to make her marry one of the brothers, wanted to take her by force. So she fled in the middle of the night, took my grandfather and some of his other siblings, and they fled to Lagos. That's how we came to Lagos. My grandfather never went back. When my dad was about 13 years old, he took my dad, late Uncle Femi, and Uncle Bolaji, the governor, he put them in his car and drove to Abeokuta and said, stay inside the car. Drove past their homestead. He said, that's where we came from. He said, but don't go back there. They will kill you. Went back to Lagos. That's why my name is Johnson. I am the first grandson. God is not stupid. He watches over that word to perform it. And in spite of all my sins and my horrible background and all kinds of things that could have gone wrong, the Holy Ghost. And here I am today. And that story is not only true of Olubi Johnson, it's true of so many of us all over Nigeria today. From different backgrounds. And God has found his way into your heart. It is the day for you to fulfill your prophetic destiny. I'm closing. This glory that is coming will cause us to do the works Jesus did and greater. It's going to solve the Nigerian problem. We will heal the sick. We will cleanse the lepers. And I'm talking about instant. I'm waiting for that now, particularly with this COVID-19. So you can take off all these silly masks. We need that now. Keep the mask on. For now. See, I'm not presumptuous. See, presumptuousness is not a good thing. We don't have that power. We have the power of spirit, but we don't have that yet at that level. When it manifests, how will we know? You will know. Because you will see the blind see instantly. You will see the lame walk instantly. They asked Jesus, they said, by what power? He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. They said, Madalone. This is in our language. That means, don't mind him. You know, who has power to forgive sins except God alone? Jesus looked at them and said, that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. I say unto you, take up your bed and walk. Glory to God. When it comes, you will know. And I will say, take off your mask and walk. Glory to God. It's coming. This is a prophetic message that's a precursor. Flooding Nigeria with God's glory. And then we'll do the greater works. Intellectual miracles. Political miracles. Economic miracles. Environmental miracles. And the whole, the governments of the world. Kings will come to the brightness of our rising. And that's why I said what I said in the morning. All unrighteous decrees, we will remove them. And we'll say, go back to legislators and House of Assembly, change it! Just like Esther and Mordecai did in Persia. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. You know, folks, when you look at the course of history that by the grace and the mercy of God I have painted, the tapestry that by the Holy Spirit I have shown to you, it gives you faith. Nothing is too hard for him. Don't let Satan allow all this little corruption and all this. If God could work through the British and bring us to where we are today, he will finish the job. Yes. Nigeria, it is well with you. Put your hand on your heart. Let's talk to God. All you need to do is make sure you got a good heart. Make sure you're in the ark. For those of you who have knowledge of it, the ark is the ark of love. Start perfecting the love of God. Most of us have already been taught about that. It's not a difficult thing. The blood, the word, and the spirit. And for those who don't know, the Holy Spirit will draw you. And inside the ark, you can grow. It's in all my books. You can go from a living thing to become a Noah's wife, to become a Noah's son. All that development is possible inside the ark. It's a dynamic thing. It's a prophetic message. Lord, the light of your
love is shining in the midst of the darkness.
Jesus,
light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine.
The Father's glory. Your kingly brightness, may our faces reflect.
changing from glory to glory. Mirror here, be our lights, tell the story.
And mercy.
Your grace and mercy.
Send forth your word.
Send forth your word. Lord, and let there be light.
Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this present truth, prophetic word. That now, in this hour, you are flooding our individual lives, and therefore our nation, Nigeria, with the Father's glory, with your glory. So that, in spite of the great challenges we see with our eyes now, Nigeria will arise and fulfill the fullness of her prophetic destiny. Father, Lord, have mercy on us. We receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, we're not moved by what we see. We have seen enough from history, as we heard today, of how you have watched over your word to perform it over generations, in spite of unsurmountable odds. In spite of all odds, here we are today. So we know what you have started, you will finish it. Concerning Nigeria and concerning our lives personally. Father, I make a fresh commitment to use your blood, your word, and your spirit to continue to perfect the love of God in my life, to grow spiritually, so that I will be in the ark as this glory hits so that it will be not for my destruction, but rather for my elevation. And I will become a blessing, not just to myself and my family, but to my nation, and then to all the nations of the earth. Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me to the rest of Africa. Send me to Europe. Send me to North and South America. Send me to the Pacific areas, to Australia, to Asia. Send me. Here I am. Lord, send me. Neka shele preketo frenenga. La preketo frenengis to fredes. Remaka sholoti koko frene. Mercy, Lord. Ramanda zegeyakako. Mercy, Father, thank you. La preketolo moshelengar to fredes. Lord Jesus, thank you. Ranintos kofrenenga radeglabatolo to fredes. Holy Spirit, thank you. Jelebika. Rika. Raktolo motolo mask. Ramatolo to fredengar to fredes. Zelika, yikito freninger dolomotolo masheleka kakoko fredegara sam. Tolomotolo mato freninger dolomoto frenesa. Zelika gogamatolo mashelebera sam. Zifri, rico, ramatolo mato fres. Zikito frening, nombre du fres. The third nation I owe is America. Host for Joseph said, didn't tell them. America. I won't be here today to say what I'm saying without Kenneth Hagin. F.F. Bosworth, E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Copeland, Ralph Martin, Bill Britton, George Warnock. No man is an island. Why am I seeing where I'm seeing? I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. And a grateful nation will give back. That is why we spend such quality time praying for America. We spend quality time praying for Israel. We spend quality time praying for the United Kingdom. When Boris Johnson was sick, see how we mobilize and start. Make sure you're praying for President Trump. We're already doing that. He'll be okay by the grace of God. He'll be okay. But don't take anything for granted. Let's pray. It's well. Every plan of Satan is going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. We've come to the end of the service. We want to thank everybody for coming and all those at our home. This was such an important, epoch-making, prophetic message for you, so you will understand who you are. You will understand where you're coming from. You understand where God is taking you to. And stop living with a chip on your shoulder. You're not inferior to any white man or any black man, any brown man. All of us are equal in the presence of God. God didn't forget the black man. He didn't forget us. And here he is fulfilling his word. Right in front of us. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So we impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, the glory of God is shining upon and through you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.